Hello, West Liberty. This is Asia, and you're listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. For today's announcement, we have an interview under the WGLZ series of Passionately Vocal. I have Brad Forshew, the athletic director here at West Liberty University. And today, we are going to talk about some issues surrounding the athletes here at West Liberty. First, I want to talk about first gen at West Lib. How important do you think being first gen is?
Well, first off, thanks for having me this morning. I appreciate the offer to come over and talk to everyone about some issues within our athletic department. I think these are all nationwide. And, you know, you mentioned first gen. Being a first gen person myself, I was the first person from my family to attend college. And I think often in today's day and age, that gets overlooked a good bit. You know, I think it's very important that people are aware and educated of what struggles that some first-gen students would have, not just athletes, but students in general. I know for me, when I was coming out of high school and going to college, there are some terms and things like that that you don't even truly know the meaning of, and like provost, registrar. I didn't know what those positions were. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being first-gen myself, you know, I remember going to college and walking into the environment for the first time, and I'm not going to say I was embarrassed, but I didn't know who to go to, you know, and I did feel a little bit like, you know, what are people going to think of me if I ask certain questions, like what is a provost, what is a registrar? So, you know, coming into my role in administration, I felt it to be very important that we identify our coaches, especially that who are first-gen people on the roster. So when they're using, you know, what they might think everyone knows, to make sure that, you know, they communicate that and in education about that. So, you know, I do think there's some stress levels that can be, you know, caused by being first gen and maybe not being able to have the resources or knowing that resources are available for you to go talk to if you do have questions, you know, because you're first gen. Mm-hmm. So in the athletic department, some things that we do is, you know, we identify who's first gen on our roster. We do that internally. We don't do that in a public meeting or anything like that. I personally make sure our student athletes know that they can come to me anytime they like. And we've kind of been pushing that agenda campus-wide, not just within athletics. So I think we're making progress there, but, you know, with anything, everybody can always do better.
All right. And then the next question I have for you is, how do you think being first-gen college students affect athletes approaching training and competition?
Well, I know, you know, athletes in general, I don't want to say we're held to a different standard, but I do know that, you know, we're a little bit different than maybe your regular student. You know, we have workouts, meetings, practice. We still have to go to class. We still have to do all the other things a regular student has to do. So time management is of the essence when you're a student athlete. And then when, you know, the stresses that are caused with that, you know, time management and other things, the pressure to compete, the pressures to do well in the classroom, and all those things, then you add the pressures of being first gen and the familiarity that you may not have with college and things like that. So I do think that that's, you know, added and can sometimes elevate those stress levels. And I know we're going to talk about mental health here soon, but, you know, those are things we all have to keep in mind. But, you know, once you kind of get your foot in the door being first gen, and I'm speaking for myself, you know, because I was one, that first semester is a crucial part. You know, that first, you know, week of class, you know, because when I played football, so we always come to camp early. So being in that environment of football, I was used to. And then making all those, you know, relationships with teammates and coaches and things like that. But once that first day of class has come, now you're preparing for something else. So, you know, being able to lean on your teammates, lean on your coaches, and, you know, your administrators like myself, Cassie Seth, who's our senior woman administrator, and having those resources available. But getting through that first, I want to say probably month of your freshman year as a first gen is crucial. And then after that, you kind of learn the routine and everything seems to fall in place. And again, that was how it was like for me when I was, you know, in college forever ago. Seems like it's been a while now.
And coming off of that question, do you see any unique strengths or struggles among these athletes?
Well, I think, you know, being involved in athletics, it teaches you some things. And, you know, you're an athlete, you can probably mm-hmm. attest to this, but it teaches a perseverance and being resilient. So, you know, regardless of the sport, you're always on a roller coaster of emotions throughout a competition or even a practice. You know, the ups and downs, or, you know, you may have just scored a goal to go up 1-0 and you're on cloud nine, and then the team might come right back down the field and you're back to 1-1. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's always a roller coaster. But I think athletics does prepare all student athletes for that. And that's the thing that we always push inside athletics is, you know, the perseverance that you learn being an athlete will help you handle, you know, any issues you may have in life. And I do think that that kind of environment does prepare our student athletes for those things, but we just got to make sure that we identify, you know, any concerns or issues that we may have and make sure we prepare them for that.
All right. Off air, you told me that you are first gen and you have mentioned it. How did you cope with dealing with the struggles as a freshman all the way up to your senior year?
Well, like I said before, you know, the freshman year was the hardest for me. I mean, it's like, you know, I think everyone, when I went to college, you don't always know everyone. You know, you might have a teammate that you went there or a sibling that went to that university. But when I went to college, I didn't know anyone. And then going into that first day, you know, the coach has recruited you. You kind of know them. You build a somewhat of a relationship with your coach during the recruiting process, but you really didn't know any of your teammates to that point. And, you know, coming in, it was a little overwhelming, you know, trying to, you know, you just went through high school, middle school, elementary mm-hmm. school with probably the same people or close to the same people and entering that new environment. And then as you progress early on, you do get some things that surprise you as a first-gen student. And being able to, for me, and I'm not saying this, you know, about anyone else, I'm totally talking about myself, but for me it was overcoming my own ego and not trying to pretend I knew things that I didn't know. And if I didn't know something, I would ask, you know, and mm-hmm. being able to overcome that. Then you find that there's other people in the same boat as you. Like when my freshman year, you know, I was asking questions and to other people that didn't know the answers either. And in any way, they weren't first gen. So it was overcoming that, you know, that initial, like I said earlier, that probably first month of my freshman year. And then like everything else in life, it kind of becomes routine. So for me, that first semester in college was probably the most difficult for me. And then after that, it was like, yeah, I'm a college student. I pretty much, you know, mm-hmm. got the grasp of this. And I just had to tell myself I can do this.
All right. And how do you plan on helping first-gen students here at West Lib?
Well, the first thing we've done, and, you know, I became athletic director full-time this past May. And, you know, I ask our coaches, you know, do you know how many first-gen people you have on your roster? And I didn't expect an answer from all of them. It was more of a rhetorical question. But it's important that we know who on our rosters are first-gen. That way we know that we can say, hey, I know this is, you know, an individual meeting. Say, I know this is your first semester in college. You know, feel free to come to us with any questions you might have. You know, no question's a dumb question. I really honestly feel that way. But just knowing that our student athletes, and I think campus-wide, our students in general know that they have resources to go to. Mm-hmm. So in our department, coaches, administration, athletic trainers, you name it, we're all willing to help. And you go campus-wide, our campus counselors, you know, everyone in Shaw Hall, all of our faculty, all of our staff, we all have a common goal here, and that's to make sure our students are happy and have the resources they need. And I do think that we've done a really good job. Dr. Borchers has made a point to making sure that's available, and we've all, you know, jumped on board and, you know, doing the same thing. So, you know, just education, knowing that our students know the resources are available, I think goes a long way.
Alrighty. All right, folks, that's the end of the first half of this interview under the WGOZ series of Passionately Vocal. This is Asia with Brad Forshee. After this break, be ready to listen in about mental health.
Hey, watch it! New York has the best pizza. I do love the city of New York. Don't you? Wait a minute. This is in New York. This is West Liberty University, and you are listening to WGLZ 91.5.
Welcome back to WGLZ. This is Asia with Brad Forshee, the athletic director here at West Liberty University. We just discussed first gen or first generation in the WGLZ series of Passionately Vocal. For the second part of this interview, we'll be discussing the mental health in athletes. For my first question, I wanted to ask you, how important do you believe mental health is in athletes?
mental health is extremely important. And, you know, I'm kind of an optimist. My wife might even call me an annoying optimist. But I think when we look back at the COVID pandemic, if we can find a positive from that, is it really made society aware that mental health is a thing. And it needs to be taken seriously and things done to help with mental health. So trying to find a bright spot, you know, from that pandemic that we all had to suffer through, I think that was one bright thing that we can come about. But, you know, within athletics, you know, like I've mentioned before in this broadcast, athletes have to go to practice. They have to go to meetings. They're in the spotlight where, you know, if something happens, people know an athlete maybe more so than just a random student because mm-hmm. of the notoriety that they get. So, you know, knowing that that's there and all the, you know, the stresses that they have, the stressors that are upon them, we have to take mental health seriously. And that's something that, you know, in the past year, our athletic department has really focused on. You know, we talked to our coaches about, you know, how to identify some mental health symptoms, you know, flags that our student athletes might be having. We've started some resources. You know, they're very expensive, but we thought it was important. My Playbook is kind of a mental health resource that we've implemented. This is the first semester we've done that, so we're kind of hoping to see what kind of data we can get from that to see if it's helping or not. You know, we have two phenomenal counselors on this campus, and Lisa Witzberger and Dawn, and what they're able to supply for us. But, you know, mental health's real. And, mm-hmm. you know, I pay attention to our coaching staffs, you know, because when you're an athlete and you're a coach of those athletes, you spend so much time together, at least, you know, when I was coaching, that they become part of your family. And when you see your student athletes struggling with something, whether it be mental health or anything, you know, some issues at home or, you know, a death in the family, it hurts them, but it hurts us as well. And, you know, I've had coaches come in my office and say, you know, I'm overwhelmed. You know, so-and-so came to me with a problem. I've tried to help. I don't know if I've been able to help enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just goes to show you that our coaches do care. But, you know, we're constantly looking to how we can do better in terms of mental health within our department. The NCAA gives you a resource of, you know, some things you can do within your department. And we've tried to do the best we can with that. You know, Dr. Borchers has been great. We, you know, with some endeavors that we have here on campus to try to be able to get some funding to do more things within, you know, not only the athletic department, but on campus that all relate to mental health. But it's something that we take very seriously in the department and campus-wide. That we can always do better. We're never satisfied in that department.
How do you address the stigma around mental health within athletes?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is get rid of that term you just used in stigma. I think that automatically takes a negative connotation to it. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us on this campus, whether we want to admit it or not, have had some mental health things. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be triggered by anything, but we have to be able to let every student on this campus, whether it's a student athlete or not, know that there's people here that can help you. You know, I've been at West Liberty a long, long time. This upcoming April will be 20 years. And one of the things that's kept me here this long is the people on this campus. It's a very tight-knit campus. I know we all the time say the Hilltop is home. And that's not just a catchphrase or a slogan. I really do believe that this is home. And it's really the relationships I've built with student athletes over the years, colleagues, is what's kept me here. And when, you know, our students know that, and they can feel that, hey, this is a special place, and we got people we can lean on when times are tough, I really think that that helps. But, you know, you said the word stigma, and that's used a lot across the country, you mm-hmm. know, with mental health. You know, we've all been there. We've all had things. If someone tells you they've lived a perfect life, probably not being too honest with you.
Yeah.
So I think that if we can take the negative connotation away that, you know, we have mental health issues or concerns, or we're going through, you know, something in our with our mental health, and make that, try to turn it into a positive, that's the first step.
Following up on that question, what role do coaches and team captains play in fostering an environment where athletes feel safe seeking mental health support?
Well, I mean, you do spend a lot of time with your coaches. You know, you go through the recruiting process that could be 1 year, 2 years, and then you come to West Liberty and you're going through practice with coaches, you know, meetings with coaches, academic meetings with coaches. So you do spend a lot of time together. And I know that, you know, being a coach myself, when I always said, you know, when we walk through that gate, we got to flip the switch. It's football time. You know, when I was coaching football, but you know, off the field, you got to be able to relate. And you know, over the years, I was able to. For me as a coach, it was important that I get to know every player that I coach individually, because everybody gets motivated differently. You know, I had a player come to me one time and he said, "Hey, coach, I appreciate everything you're doing, but I need yelled at." And I was like, well, you know, I'm not really, you know, really into that. But, you know, what do you mean by yelled at? I was like, hey, let's go. He wanted that positive, loud emotion mm-hmm. from me. Well, on the same team that year, we had a player that if you raised your voice to them at all, I said he was like a turtle. He would go frightened into a shell and you wouldn't get anything out of him. So it's important that you get to know who your players are. Because, you know, everybody reacts differently to everything. And I think our coaches all, for the most part, do a good job in that. And, you know, you look at some larger roster sports, you know, we have multiple coaches or GAs. And we're constantly looking for, you know, flags that, you know, say something may be off. And I often use the example, you know, if I went to practice one day as a coach and, you know, someone wasn't performing like maybe they should, you know, or like they normally do. And, you know, I then yell at them for not performing. And then what if, you know, something happened that I wasn't aware of and I wasn't reading that body language? And let's say, you know, a family member had passed away. I wasn't made aware of that yet, or something, you know, was just having them a bad day. Mm-hmm. And me yelling at them probably isn't going to make that situation any better. So being able to know who your players are, reading that body language and say, hey, come here for a second. Is everything okay? And they might say, no, coach, you know, my grandmother passed away last night. So now I know I need to change my motivation as a coach, as opposed to trying to motivate them to do better in practice. Now I got to show empathy and sympathy and, you know, take care of that. So, you know, there's things like that that we do. And I do think, you know, every coach is different. You know, every coach has a different philosophy on that. But, you know, I do think all in all, we do a pretty decent job of that in the athletic department.
What do you think are the biggest mental health challenges faced by student athletes today?
You know, you say student athletes, I'll take it one step further and go students in general. You know, cost is always a concern that I hear with, you know, our student athletes. You know, can we afford to go to college? You know, career choices after they leave here, the time commitment, time management, you know, of trying to go to class, go to games, go to practice, things like that. And, you know, just the everyday stresses of life that kind of gets to us all. You know, we, you know, coming off a pandemic, I don't think any of us can say that that's completely behind us at this point. But, you know, and just the regular things that could come up day to day. You know, you might have a tough test and you may not have done as well learned as you want. Then you got to go to a practice or a game. You know, some of our games, we have to travel a long way. Like our women's wrestling team had to go up to Michigan over the weekend, you know, and then a lot of travel involved. So when am I going to do my homework? When am I going to study for tests? The time management in our department is something that we often get the most feedback on. And it just, is there not enough time in the day to be able to do certain things?
All right, last question for you. How do you handle situations where athletes' mental health needs may interfere with their athletic performance, and what steps do you take to support them in this scenario?
Well, we always encourage open dialogue, you know, not only with our coaches and student athletes, but, you know, I have an open door policy. You can come talk to me anytime you want. We do, you know, behavioral alerts. If we think something's seriously going on, we can get a referral to our counselors here on campus. But there always has to be a conversation. You know, a student athlete can, you know, go to a coach and say, hey, you know, and this happens all the time. I got a tough test coming up. You know, can I, something I can do here and there? And then for the most part, we're able to accommodate that. But it's a case-by-case scenario where a coach and that student athlete just has to have that conversation. You know, I don't think you want to talk about, you know, a lot of things in a group setting like that. But I think it's just having open communication and being able to collectively work through that together. And I think, again, since the pandemic, I've seen a lot better progress in that regard than we did maybe before the pandemic. You know, like I started my coaching career here in 2005. It was a lot different culture back then than it is now. But I do think we're making the paths. And like I've said numerous times before, never being complacent in that department, always striving to get better.
All right, now that we've wrapped things up, I want to thank Brad Forshee for being here with me today. We just finished the WGOZ series of Passionately Vocal, discussing first gen and mental health in athletes. This is WGOZ. We are college radio and we are passionately vocal. Now let's get back to the music.